Welcome back, friends, to the latest episode of the Nats GM Show, the only podcast exclusively available via the Nats GM Radio Network. I'm your host, Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief of NatsGM.com and the baron of all baseball podcasts.
The baron. You are now one-on-one with the baron of the baseball podcast, with forever, no other way you can call that, the people's podcast never ended. You are now one-on-one with the baron of the baseball podcast, with forever, no other way you can call that.
And now I am joined by Evolve Wrestling superstar and the hottest indie wrestler in America today. Please bask in his glory. I have Limitless Keith Lee on the phone with me right now. Keith, welcome to the Nats GM Show.
Well, thank you for having me, my good man. I hope everybody's having a wonderful time.
Well, first and foremost, we want to thank you for coming on the show. A huge fan of your work. We were the creators of the Limitless Legion in ROH, and it's a pretty big trip to have you on the phone today, so thank you so much.
Not a problem, man. I'm excited to be here. More importantly, I'm appreciative of the fact that you even wanted me on here. So I thank you, man.
Well, in doing my research on you a little bit, I didn't really know that you were a college football player. I mean, you kind of look the part when you look at you, you know, a big, tough guy and, you know, certainly a big guy. But I didn't know you played college football. Tell me a little bit about that.
Honestly, a lot of people have asked about it, and there's not a lot to tell because my freshman year is when I decided that I wanted to play or wanted to focus on professional wrestling. So, yes, I had quite a bit of support behind me. As a freshman, I was speaking with a few NFL teams already. I played for Texas A&M, and one of my buddies actually – quite a few of my buddies obviously are playing in the NFL. So, but my path was different, and that's what I felt on the inside. And so, just as a freshman, I decided to go and find a place to train and get into wrestling. And that was me standing on my own 2 feet, because obviously that would make very many people happy when you have such, a likely opportunity with football and a professional level. So, you know, made that decision and stuck with it.
Any regrets? I mean, certainly that NFL paycheck looks pretty nice compared to a perhaps an indie wrestler salary, but sounds like you did pretty well right now.
I'm doing okay now. Yeah, I guess like you could say that. I mean, I would never say that I regret my decision. I mean, obviously my decision was a tougher road to take and required a lot of a lot more sacrifice, so you could say. But I'm happy with the sacrifices I've had to make for this versus sacrificing this for football. So I don't think that my passion for football would have stood the things that my passion for wrestling has.
That's an interesting take. So then tell me a little bit about your early career. If you got out of football at 18, did you graduate from Texas A&M? Did you stay with college? Did you kind of, where did your life path go from there?
I studied computer science at A&M, but I did not stay there. Once I made that decision, I left A&M and I moved back to the Dallas area. I started training at a smaller promotion, and then I met a gentleman that introduced me to Killer Tim Brooks. For those that know old school wrestling, know the Sportatorium days, and that he, you know, has tagged with Abdullah the Butcher and wrestled back with Piper and the Freebirds and the Von Erichs and all that jazz. And my education with him was a lot different from your normal wrestling education. I learned a lot of psychological and mental type training to go along with the physical. So I'm forever grateful for what I learned through him.
And did you kind of do the Texas independent scene? I can't say that I know one thing about that area, but then how did you grow into the, you know, in-ring competitor or person that you were, or you are, I should say?
So, definitely stuck around Texas. I mean, there was little surrounding states here and there, but mostly, most of my time was in Texas. I had a few... I gained WWE's interest around 2008, and I did things with them, but I never got signed or anything like that. And the very last time I went and had a tryout with them was 2013, and I didn't get signed again. And honestly, I've said this at several other interviews and whatnot, but I came very close to hanging up my boots in 2013. At that point, I was at a point where maybe I had made that mistake in my choice of profession. And it honestly took two or three voices, and those people had a great talk with me and really lit a fire under my butt. And so 2013 was when I decided to stop listening to how people would tell me I should wrestle, which happens a lot in Texas. A lot of things people don't realize is that wrestling works on many different platforms, and it works in many different styles. So Texas has, had an issue with a big guy being an athlete. And after I decided to ignore those ideals, that is when I made a lot of changes. And then I listened to a couple, a mentor and a friend in suggesting that I go do something away from Texas. And so I got myself to the East Coast or Beyond Wrestling. And that is the moment where a lot of things changed for me. Yes, by that time I was already doing little stuff with Ring of Honor, but by no stretch of the imagination did it grow me like wrestling on the East Coast did in terms of singles wrestling.
Well, and you just mentioned ROH, so I'd love to take that segue and talk to you about it because, you know, I think it was about 2015 when you and Shane Taylor showed up. And you know, most of the Ring of Honor guys are more on, my size, 6 feet, 180 pounds or something. You kind of jump off the page at, 300 plus pounds and being, just this monster. So can you reflect a little bit on your time at ROH and just, particularly the good times early on?
I mean, honestly, more than anything was good times with Ring of Honor. There's a lot to learn from the locker room. In a really good setting to be a part of. Early on, it was honestly just a happenstance. My first match back from an injury was late 2014, was against Raymond Rowe. And we just had a killer match in Houston, Texas. And he decided to tell me afterward that I needed to be at the next Ring of Honor show that came to San Antonio. And so, of course, that being one of my goals in wrestling, I made the whatever changes I needed to make in order to be there. So I met some people and I watched that show and enjoyed myself. And then next thing you know, they're reaching out, and I believe me and Shane's debut as a team was in May that 2015, Amarillo and Oklahoma City were our first two dates. And we didn't do anything but dark matches for a very long time. But, we were getting used, which is what matters, I suppose. So, you take two guys that are huge, enormous. We move a bit above average from anybody that you normally see our size. Of course, we can destroy people on our own. So you put us together as a team, sure, we're going to do well. So early on, it was nothing but killing people. And eventually, we got to face some different talent, and that's when we had to learn a lot. And so most times, I give credit to Christopher Daniels because he taught us a lot in terms of tag team wrestling and what it took to be successful with it. And we learned at a rapid pace, which made us a bit more successful than the average tag team. So we definitely enjoyed and soaked in everything we could in terms of tag team wrestling and anything we could learn from people in the locker room, people in the office, whatever it took. We were learning, we were soaking it in, and we were applying it. So it was always good times because, for one, I don't have to get hit by Shane. For two, he's a good dude, so it was great tagging with him.
Well, and just speaking as a diehard fan, it seemed like you and Shane were kind of just hitting your stride as the Pretty Boy Killers when you decided to, I don't know the right word, but go to another company and go to Evolve Wrestling. Can you tell me a little bit just kind of that decision and, you know, what went into it and your thoughts and kind of that stuff?
I can say this. In terms of that decision, it took a lot of people coming together and helping me make it. Some were mentors, some were friends. The person I talked to the most about it was Shane. So between all of that, in the long run, in terms of who had more of an interest in my abilities and what I could bring to a company and how I could give and help it grow, the long term and the short term for that matter, it definitely had more pros in terms of Evolve Wrestling and opportunities there. And there's also the freedom involved with Evolve and not being limited on certain shows that I wouldn't be able to do if I was with Ring of Honor and what have you. So it was just, you know, it took about 3 weeks to figure it out, and a lot of conversing and brainstorming and back and forth and advice here, suggestions there. And in the end, Evolve just felt like the better choice. And to this day, I'm more than happy with the decision I made.
I got to say, I think it was probably the best decision for both of you. Shane's having a great run right now in ROH as well. And you obviously, you know, I mean, Evolve puts you, I think your first match was with Chris Hero, maybe the best independent wrestler in the world at the time, for your first match.
Yes, which was an honor. And honestly, I'd already faced him once at Beyond Wrestling. And that was also a great match. I was looking forward to stepping it up a notch until we broke the ring. But, you know, things happen when you get two big guys that are intense in the ring. So, you know, it's just a really physical match at that point. And it was still a heck of a lot of fun. And, you know, the way that he kind of helped me up and complimented me meant a lot. And I think it kind of set the tone for my 2017.
Yeah, I was going to... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all I was saying. I think he set the tone for my 2017 to grow at the pace that it has.
Well, and if that wasn't your breakout, and I hate the term breakout, that's such a cliche, but if that wasn't your breakout moment in wrestling to a certain degree, certainly I think the past WrestleMania weekend a few weeks ago that just passed with your match with Donovan Dijak and frankly just several of the matches the entire weekend. I mean, you stole the weekend that weekend.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. And to go from, you know, the year before, Shane and I look back on this and realize we had the two Ring of Honor shows last year, and we were just in dark matches. And then we had one tag team match for VIP Wrestling at the Midnight Show after Mania in Arlington. That was the extent of our WrestleMania weekend last year. And I don't know what all he did this year, but I know that going from that to six matches and the first three being just crazy go-go-go matches, the first one with Ricochet was enough to really raise a lot of eyes and a lot of expectations. And then the match with Lio Rush, a lot of people enjoyed, but the match with Dijak kind of broke some mindsets and turned a lot of heads. So, you know, it was just a great opportunity to, I guess, introduce myself to the wrestling world proper. So, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity. That's all I can be.
Yeah, if I can, anybody that's listening to this, if you haven't seen that match between Donovan Dijak and Keith Lee, I believe at Evolve 81, go watch it. Do whatever you can, because it's one of the best matches I've seen in many years. I don't mean in an independent anywhere. I mean, it was one of the best matches I've seen in a long time.
I appreciate that, man. It means a lot for both of us, because there's one thing I could say. When it comes to him and I in the ring, a lot of things that we do are straight up statements. Like, hey, you know, this is us, this is who we are, accept it or don't, but this is how we do things. And I think a lot of people are appreciating it, which means a lot. It's very touching.
So now, if you can look ahead a little bit, what does the rest of 2017 look like? I know the last time we saw you were friendly with Matt Riddle at the end of Evolve. I believe maybe 83 or 84, whatever the number is. And where does Keith Lee go from here?
So 84 is actually happening in Chicago on the 20th, which will see a rematch of me versus Donovan Dijak, actually. So Chicago, actually Illinois in general, is getting a hell of a few days, because I'm facing Donovan Dijak in Chicago for Evolve at 84, and then I'm also facing Donovan Dijak on the 25th for AAW Wrestling. So, as you can expect, things are going to be very interesting. We've never faced each other in the span of 5 days like that, So I expect these matches will probably be a little nuts.
All right, editor's note, I may have to somehow drive to Chicago for these events.
So 85 is actually going to see a first time ever match at Evolve for me versus Fred Yehi. He's a very interesting person in terms of his wrestling style. So I will be studying him a bit more than most people, because he's a very intricate wrestler. And, you know, he may have to figure out some things. I don't know how much of what he does will work against me, because he's just not used to wrestling guys my size. Yeah, so there's those two things. The 19th, I'm back at PWG, as I mentioned before. I'm looking forward to that as well, because that's also a first-time-ever match. The Battle of the Lees, Keith Lee versus Trevor Lee. So that should be a very interesting match. What else do we have going on here? Actually, that AAW weekend leads into just a ridiculous amount of matches. So the 25th, as the second, that'll be match number 7 between myself and Donovan Dijak at AAW. The 26th, I face Michael Elgin at Glory Pro. The 27th, I face John Morrison at Wrestle Circus. And then after all those crazy matches, I then have to come back to Inspire Pro and defend my Pure Prestige Championship against Sammy Guevara at Inspire Pro Wrestling. So just those, the next 2 weeks after this week I take off are going to be nuts, which is why I'm taking this week off. After kind of damaging my shoulder against Moose on the 5th. So we'll see how things go.
It's crazy. Just listing the guys that you're going to fight in the next couple of weeks, it's such a different group of styles. I mean, Dijak is so different than John Morrison, that is so different than Sammy Guevara, or pardon me, I'm terrible with names, but it's such a different amount of styles that you're going versus, different than Moose than you just faced. I mean, it's pretty cool to see that the different styles that you can go against.
I love it, man. I like those different styles, because it shows that, you know, I'm effective against whatever I I wrestle, win or lose, it's in some way, form, or fashion, it's an impressive event, a spectacle, if you will. I was banged up after the Moose match, and I still wrestled Penta El Zero M at AAW on the 6th, and I barely made it through that match because my shoulder just it's just in a rough position, and I ended up losing. But you know, a lot of fans had a lot of respect for me showing up because some of them had actually seen me against Moose, and they saw the fact that I was heavily favoring my shoulder throughout the night. You know, trying to take care of it. And it was hard to just lift it up that day. So I had like an icy hot patch on. I took medicine. And just doing whatever I can so that I could perform at a level deserving of AAW. So I'm grateful to those fans that respected the things that I did. And looking forward to going back on the 25th and feeling a lot better. So we'll see how things go.
Well, Keith, do we have time for a quick game of rapid fire?
Yeah, I'll do my best to be rapid. I can't guarantee. I'm a pretty mellow guy.
Well, as you know, it's just the first thing that comes off the top of your head to the question. So, all right, first one. Where did the catchphrase "limitless" and "bask in my glory" kind of originate from?
Okay, we're going to start with Limitless because that's the latest, and Basketball has a real origination that I'd actually like to give proper form to. Limitless because I do a lot of things that a lot of people can't believe, and it happens every match that I'm seen in, or people see me for the first time, their minds are blown, their jaws are dropped, and they're just unsure what they just witnessed. And I love that. But I love more the fact that I can do these things and create these moments for these people. And I feel like a lot of the things I can do, even some small guys can't do. So I decided that there's nothing that I cannot do if I so choose to do it, which then led to me calling myself Limitless. And it's something that just kind of sticks. I've always believed in no limits. And that was just a great way to express myself, I guess you could say. So Bask in My Glory was actually created by, and it, not the literal phrase, but it was created by the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. In my last visit, the very first Performance Center, I guess you could say, tryout. The very first time I ever went, Dream let it be known to me that I was terrible on a microphone. And I did everything I could to fix that and be something that he would accept and acknowledge the next time I saw him. And so the few weeks that I've spent with him kind of changed the way I viewed talking on a microphone and speaking with people and kind of embracing myself. So the last time I talked with him, and he kind of sat with me and let me know how he felt about things, he literally said to me, basically, that's it, brother. You literally have a presence I can bask in. Take it and do what you will with it, daddy. And that's all he said. And from that conversation, I dwelled on it and dwelled on it and dwelled on it. And I liked the idea of people basking in Keith Lee. But I couldn't figure out what exactly they're basking in. Glory just became something that kind of segued from a lot of smaller promotions. People would kind of do the bow down thing and kind of treat me as this wrestling god or this ridiculous entity that's blessing the wrestling world. And so I took all these things and took what Dusty said and decided that people should bask in my glory because of the entity that I am. And so that was born, and it's just something that I fell in love with, and I'll probably never forsake it because of the fact that he was the one that blessed me with it.
That is a really awesome story. That is so cool.
It means a lot to me, man.
I have no earthly idea how to transition off that, but I'm going to ask another question. That's amazing. favorite finishing move of all time?
Probably the jackhammer, man. It's been one of the most intense moves of all time in my personal view, but it's actually how I created the Ground Zero, basically from a love of the jackhammer.
Very cool. Your favorite wrestler as a young kid?
I didn't have one as a young kid, man. A lot of people ask, you know, how I got into wrestling, and I always told them, like, hey, my inspiration was not a wrestler. It was my grandmother and her love for wrestling, just the sport in general. And so I watched a lot of wrestling, but there was no one wrestler that just really stuck out to me. I think as I grew up, if I wanted to say like teenage years, then, you know, everybody enjoyed The Rock and Austin. So they would probably be the two that really stuck out for me.
All right. And my final question for you is, what is the best piece of advice in wrestling you ever received, and who was it from?
It came from two people, and it was the same advice. Number one, and somebody that means a lot to me, is William Regal, and Dusty Rhodes. And both of them said to not be afraid to be more of myself, because no matter what position you're in wrestling, nothing is more natural than you being you. And so that's something I've embraced and done everything I can to apply to my wrestling world. And so that's why I tell people that Keith Lee is not a gimmick or anything of that sort. This is just me. Now, do I turn it up a little bit? Absolutely. But I don't turn it up in the form of fake things. I turn it up in the form of, here's my personality. Now here's all of my personality. Take it or leave it, basically.
Very, very, very cool. Keith, thank you so much. I've got a ton of other questions I could ask, but I think this is a good place to stop our interview. I'd love to give you a spot here for your plugs, where people can find you on social media, perhaps buy a t-shirt, whatever, and anything you want to plug.
So I'm pretty streamlined. I'm trying to make it nice and easy for people. So if you're looking for me on Instagram or Twitter, both handles are at Real Keith Lee. Facebook.com/RealKeithLee. If you're looking for shirts or hats, you can find me at BottomLineMerch.com/KeithLee. And likely, I might be opening a pro wrestling tee store soon enough, but that remains to be seen. I will keep people posted on that, especially if you follow me on Twitter. So those are the best ways to get hold of me currently.
Well, Keith, thank you so much. As I said, on air and off air, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I'm really excited to see where Keith Lee is in 12 months, in a couple of years, and you know, maybe even in 10 years.
That's awesome, dude. And as a personal thing, man, for the Limitless Legion, I want to offer my personal thanks, because that really meant a lot more than you even know. So I appreciate you and your whoever all was involved in that. It was amazing. So thank you to you and them as well.
Well, that's maybe the nicest thing you could have said to me. So thank you so much. Big fan of yours. Stay healthy. Good luck with the shoulder. And I hope to see you at an Evolve show very, very soon.
Yes, sir.
And that was a special episode of the Nats GM Show with the hottest free agent in pro wrestling and WWN Evolves, Keith Lee. I want to thank him for joining us. I'm a big fan of his. I'm sure that came through quite apparently in the interview. But he's a really, really talented wrestler, and it's going to be really fun to see where he is in the next couple of years. So definitely check him out online and check out his matches and follow him on Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. So thank you to him. Thank you for downloading. And we are a wrap. Bye for now.
The Baron. The Baron of the Baseball Podcast. The Baron of the Baseball Podcast. The Baron of the Baseball Podcast. Yeah. The Baron, speaking for the awareness. Truth has been spoken, the people say it's apparent. Wake up every day to the voice of the leader. The home run, strike out, the Baron, the teacher. I am a natural, my podcast has been the national. Bryce Harper power, Ken Griffey with attitude. No more than most, I am built for the stage. Every time I speak facts without turning the page, let me explain, I'm like Babe Ruth, I call the shots. Speaking to all my people, this message will never stop. Home run, every show, bringing in every fact. This feeling will overcome and I'm never turning it back. The Baron, the people's podcast and this win. The benefactor of benefit, know the truth is within. The Baron, speaking for awareness. The truth has been spoken, the people always say it's apparent. You feel me? The people's podcast never ended. You are now one-on-one with the Baron. The Baron of the Baseball Podcast. With forever, no other way you can call that. The people's podcast never ended. You are now one-on-one with the Baron. The Baron of the Baseball Podcast. With forever, no other way you can call that. The Baron, speaking for the awareness. Truth has been spoken, the people say it's apparent. Wake up every day to the voice of the leader. The home run, strike out, the Baron, the teacher. I am a natural, my podcast has been the national. Bryce Harper power, Ken Griffey with attitude. No more than most, I am built for the stage. Every time I speak facts without turning the page, let me explain, I'm like Babe Ruth, I call the shots. Speaking to all my people, this message will never stop. Home run, every show, bringing in every fact. This feeling will overcome and I'm never turning it back. The Baron, the people's podcast and this win. The benefactor of benefit, know the truth is within. The Baron, speaking for awareness. The truth has been spoken, the people always say it's apparent. You feel me? The people's podcast never ended. You are now one-on-one with the Baron. The Baron of the Baseball Podcast. With forever, no other way you can call that. The people's podcast never ended. You are now one-on-one with the Baron. The Baron of the Baseball Podcast. With forever, no other way you can call that.